right, so let's get into the business of investing from a different angle, the endowment angle. Doug Phillips, the Chief Investment Officer of the University of Rochester, back with us. He joins us on the phone from upstate New York, Rochester to be exact. And Janet Lauren is endowments reporter for Bloomberg. She's here with me in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Doug, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, so let's talk about this endowment strategy, especially for the Ivies. It hasn't gone so well this year, and 1 year doesn't a trend make. I get that. But what kind of went sideways here?
Well, this is a time when it's important to remember that returns don't always look like they have in the past few years, and that endowments have a different role than maximizing return. They have to have a stability of return and preserve value, and there's valuation concerns and there's growth concerns about earnings in the public market, and tariffs are certainly an uncertainty that's facing all markets around the world. So I think endowments are probably a little more defensive about things. I've looked at allocations in the Ivies and our own allocation to U.S. stocks, and they're coming down to some of their lowest levels ever. So I don't see that as a bearish necessarily, but it's just a time to be more concerned than usual.
So one thing that hurt some endowments this year was international equities. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the impact of trade war and tariffs. How does that all fit together?
Well, from what I see from endowments, including our own, we're tilted increasingly to economies that are growing faster than the U.S., where valuations are less and corporate earnings growth is higher. And I think one thing, Janet, to remember about the U.S. is we're just 5% of the world's population. Even though we have 20% of the world GDP, and we're the largest national economy and a big trader, there's a lot of activity outside the United States. And China will certainly surpass the United States as the largest economy in probably 5 to 7 years. But when you look at purchasing power around the world, 95% of consumers are outside of America's borders. And we're in a period of uncertainty with trade and tariffs. And you can hear this in earnings calls. We see summaries of earnings calls with CFOs and CEOs of companies, public companies in the S&P 500, and most of them are saying it's a time of uncertainty for their sourcing and sales, U.S. companies. So I think that's why endowments are leaning more toward outside the United States, just recognizing the global economy.
And can you talk a little bit about developed versus emerging?
Well, developed markets are facing turmoil. You read about it every day. It's inexhaustible comments about Brexit and strife protests. So you see that more in the developed economies, obviously Hong Kong. You see it less in some of the highly populated, fast-growing economies. I think prosperity is coming to those parts of the world in a greater way than maybe some of the older developed international markets. And I don't know, people just seem happy.
So right.
Not protesting as much in those emerging economies.
And so, Doug, I'm sure you will not be surprised to hear that we're going to ask you about the alternative universe as well. And, you know, clearly one way to avoid some of the vicissitudes, as it were, and the volatility of public markets is to take the longer term. And endowments, including yours, I believe, have, you know, had quite an appetite for private equity and real estate and other, you know, less liquid, longer term asset classes. What are you seeing in those markets, and maybe especially with private equity, especially given all the money that has been flowing there?
Yeah, so there's about $1.4 trillion of committed capital to private equity that has yet to be called. So it's in venture and buyout and growth funds and all forms. And that money, some of it is being deployed imprudently. It's pushing up pricing, and returns will certainly be lower than expected. I think the real question there, Paul and Jason, is what will that look like in relation to public markets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you continue to earn a premium there? And real estate, domestic real estate is certainly expensive. Cap rates are some of the lowest rates we've seen in decades. So I think time to be cautious on real estate as well.
Are you looking at smaller funds?
Smaller private equity funds? Always. But all smaller firms, newer firms, also have unique risks. They're sort of feeling their way around as new businesses, and I think they're more susceptible to disruption from, if they have one bad fund, they might not raise the next fund, and what does that do to the organization? So we're very cautious about newer funds, but we have some new ones.
And so what are you avoiding at this point? I mean, if someone's coming to you with a strategy, what are you saying, just almost blanket, I'm just not into that right now?
Yeah, well, there's two parts of that. The part is what's specific to our portfolio, what can't we do?
Yeah.
And our private equity allocation is full, so we're not putting additional money there. If it wasn't full, maybe we would. The bond market, generally, this is surprising what's happened in the last 9 months with the 8% return on the aggregate bond market. That's probably not going to continue, so we're cautious about bonds, and certainly there's going to be some volatility with government intervention.
Right.
And the long bond looks looks a little scary, so we don't have any long bonds. With that, we just continue to look for firms that are, as you know, can upgrade our
right.
results.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Doug Phillips, Chief Investment Officer of the University of Rochester, joining us on the phone from that fair city. Always appreciate that. Janet Lauren, Endowment Supporter, still with me. And I got to ask you, since I have you in this seat, the Ken Fisher news just keeps coming. More money being pulled after those inappropriate comments. What's the latest?
So we're close to $1 billion pulled from several pension funds. Yesterday, the City of Boston Pension Fund decided to terminate its contract. It's about $250 million. And Michigan State's Retirement Fund, mm-hmm. the State of Michigan, pulled $600 million. And Philadelphia's pension fund pulled about $54 million. So as boards are considering this and understanding exactly what he said, they are thinking about it, and I think we're probably going to hear from more
right.
public pension funds. And remember, these are public bodies. They're investing money of teachers and firefighters and municipal employees. And, you have to, they're also talking about the risk.
Yep.
You know, in addition to being inappropriate, now is their manager spending more time instead of keeping an eye on their money?
Yeah.
Are there risk
yeah.
for investments?
All right. Great context as always. Thank you so much. Janet Lauren, Endowment Supporter for Bloomberg. Want to bring you a quick headline. The GM strike said to continue until the UAW agreement is ratified. So that vote becoming that much more important. David Welch with that headline on the Bloomberg Terminal. That's going to wrap it up for a Thursday edition. I'm Jason Kelly in New York. You've been listening to Bloomberg Businessweek. Have a great afternoon, everyone.